1, Luke chapter 1. It is that time this month to hear lots of different messages and thoughts about Christmas, and I trust that through all of this that we might even be able to learn something new, different, be reminded of something that perhaps that we didn't remember. And so Luke chapter number 1. I have a lengthy passage of Scripture to read tonight, and so rather than stand as we read through all of these verses, if you just carefully follow along as we look at this story, beginning in verse 57, but we're going to read down to verse 80, and I think it'll help all of us understand the whole context of the story if we do this. Now Elizabeth, beginning verse 57, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet or table, and he wrote, saying, his name is John, and they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake, and he praised God. Verse 65, and fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them on their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which had been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we might be delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing until Israel. So we have the story of the birth of who? John the Baptist. And so let me take just a few moments of our time tonight and share some thoughts about singing tonight, about the song of Zacharias. Have you ever noticed at Christmas time, you only sing the songs once a year, but you just always know the words to the song. In fact, all of us, we have a favorite Christmas song. And I'm not talking about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's not what I'm referring to. We all have a favorite Christmas song that we love to sing. And a matter of fact, why don't you take just a moment? What is your favorite song? And tell the person beside you, what is your favorite Christmas song? We all have our favorite song. Silent Night, O Come All Ye Faithful, O Little Town of Bethlehem, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Away in a Manger, and the list goes on and on about all of the favorite Christmas songs. We hear them throughout the Christmas season. We hear them in restaurants, and we hear them in the mall. Only now, so often, it's secular Christmas songs, and many of these old classic favorite songs have been done away with in the department stores. Even believers, though, who have never been born again, people who do not profess a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even they have heard about the Christmas songs and songs like Away in a Manger and songs like that. Well, in verse number 79 here of what we just read, it tells us that the birth of Jesus would give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. I read about a pastor over in the state of Texas. Every year, for several years, he would take his Christmas carolers, carolers. And we're going to have a Christmas caroling this year, and we've been doing that for several years. And last year, I think we had one of our largest numbers ever. I think we had to take multiple buses and vans, and it was really exciting to see so many people out Christmas caroling. But you know what we do? We do it safely. We go to the shut-ins or somebody that's sick, and we stand outside their room or outside their door, and we sing a Christmas song. Well, this pastor, he was a little more daring than that. He would line up 5 or 6 bars, and he would contact the bar owner the week before and said, "Listen, on Saturday night, we'd like to just come and for 10 minutes or so just sing Christmas carols in the bar." Well, it's a little bit edgy, but here's what happened, is that every year there would be men sitting at the bar, and the whole place would come to a standstill when this church of 25 to 30 people would come in the bar. And then for 10 minutes or so, they would sing Christmas songs. And here's what would happen. Every single time, the pastor said, there would be men you could see in the glistening twilight or the darkness of that bar, tears streaming down, dripping off their cheek, as these Christmas songs reminded them of what life used to be, as they drowned their sorrows in a bottle of beer. You know, Christmas songs can speak to us because they're infused with the message of Jesus Christ. I love the old songs. Most of them were written in the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries. And you know what? They still carry a powerful message of the incarnation, the enfleshment of the Son of God. And as wonderful as these songs are, I think we need to write new songs. You know, today, the songs that are being written today that are popular on the radio is "I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus," and "Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer," and Christmas songs about chipmunks and pigs and barking dogs. And here's the thing. We need to have some songs being written today about the God and Jesus Christ of this Bible. And we still need to sing the message of the Christmas story. Perhaps maybe you could write a song, and 200 years from now, churches would be singing that song. For those of us who believe, singing about Jesus is not just for the Christmas season. We sing year-round. The Holy Spirit places a song in our heart, and we can sing that song 365 days a year. And all we're doing is obeying Ephesians chapter 5, where it says that we're to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And actually, I don't care if you make fun of the fact that I'm not a very good singer. I have a joyful song in my heart. And I love to sing, and I love to sing back to the Lord. God's people have always sung to him. In fact, if you go back to the 5 books of the law, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, we read a song from Moses that praises the Lord. And we're reminded that David penned many of the psalms, and those psalms turned into songs that the Jewish people would sing. Know that in Scripture there were two joyful songs at the Christmas season. There was a song of Mary. I've preached about that several years ago, about the song of Mary. Here we have the song of Zacharias, and this song of Zacharias is about John the Baptist, and he prophesied about many of the details about the ministry of Jesus. This particular passage of Scripture is called the Benedictus. Mary's song resembles the song of Hannah, the song of an expectant mother. On the other hand, Zacharias' song, this passage of Scripture that we just read, it's more like the prophetic writings of the Old Testament. So let's just break this down tonight. I just ask that maybe we listen, and maybe we just learn something, be reminded of something new. But let me give you the context here of Zechariah's song. In verses 5 through 25, which we did not read, we learned that the angel Gabriel had announced the birth of John the Baptist, not to his mother, but to his father, Zacharias. Zacharias, what was Zacharias' profession? What was he? He was a priest, so you know that part of the story too. Okay, good. Zacharias, he was a priest. And as we already so eloquently heard, the announcement came, and Zacharias didn't believe it because his wife was old. And so the angel bound his tongue, and his tongue would be bound until the birth of the child. This son, the Bible says, would go before the Messiah in the spirit and the power of Elijah and make ready the people for the coming of the Lord. In verse number 18, we see that Zacharias, he questioned whether this was even physically possible. And because of that lack of belief, Gabriel said that he would be mute. He would be unable to speak. Well, after Mary stayed with him for about 3 months, and she went home. And the Bible says in verse 57, Elizabeth's full time came and she gave birth to that son. All the neighbors, all the cousins rejoiced. Now, can you imagine? Let's put this in context. Can you imagine Bud and Joanne having a baby? And it's happened. Joanne is great with child. It's December, and she's going to have a baby. Don't you think there would be some rejoicing by not only family members, but by our church? This would seem like a miracle, and it would be a miracle. But here's the thing. That's the context. Someone that was very active in the church, they were older, and yet they were great with child, and the older lady has a baby. There was great rejoicing, the Bible says. I can only imagine what her baby shower must have been like. If we were to modernize this, can you imagine? Let me use Bud and Joanne. They're having a baby, and Joanne's have. Can you imagine how many baby showers and the number of gifts that would be at that baby shower? They would have to start completely. They don't even know what a passy is. I mean, that hadn't even been invented when they had children. So they'd have to have. We'd have to have. They used cloth diapers back then. They're so old, okay? So what in the world is a pamper? I mean, they would have to be re-educated what it means to even have a little baby in the house. If we were to modernize this story, it would be funny. Well, this was the same thing for Zacharias and Elizabeth, is that this was new. How could they have a baby? And the Lord showed great mercy upon them, the Bible says. Elizabeth was no longer barren. Her shame was gone. Well, on the eighth day, we read about that. On the eighth day, it was time to take John the Baptist in to be circumcised. And during this ceremony is when the name was officially bestowed on that child. Even today, this often happens in Jewish culture. I ask our doctor, Shelly and I, we use the same doctor, and we often talk about church things. He often asks me questions about the Bible. We have it's just a great conversation. We spend far more of our time talking about church and the Bible than we do my health. And I asked him a couple years ago, I said, Dr. Gosso, I said, why the eighth day? Is that just in the Bible? Is there a medical reason? And he explained to me why the eighth day is the perfect day because of all the antibodies and the boy system, why it's the perfect day for the boy to be circumcised. You know what? God's a great God. It's amazing his plans and how he has created. Oh, by the way, our schools would have us to believe that we evolved into that. If we're still evolving, then why isn't it the 9th or 15th or 30th day for some? Why is it even to this day still the 8th day that when the little boy's the healthiest to be circumcised? I tell you what, because we didn't evolve. Because God created us, and we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, what happens is that even in Jewish culture today, on the eighth day for a boy is often when the name is officially bestowed and given. Well, the friends and the relatives, oh, they strongly suggested names. Now, let me ask you, how many children did Zacharias and Elizabeth have? This was their first one. This is it. Her womb has been shut up. So in culture, wouldn't you want to carry on the family name? And so what we read in our story is that everyone was saying that his name should be called Zacharias. And Elizabeth said, no, his name should be called John. And they all looked at Zacharias in horror and said, no. And then he was given something to write on, and his name shall be called John. Do you know what John means? John is the gift of God. Jehovah is gracious. The people were just perplexed because none of her relatives, the Bible says, was called by her name. None of Zacharias' family was called by this name. And I think even today, family can get involved and try to mess things up. Zacharias and Elizabeth had obviously communicated about this. And so Zacharias, he wrote on a writing tablet, the Bible says, that his name was to be called John. He didn't write, we've decided to call his name John. Or he didn't say, John is a good name. He said, his name is John. It was settled. He understood that he was doing the will of the Lord. No sooner than this happened, the Bible says, his mouth was opened immediately, his tongue was loose, and for the first time in more than 9 months, he spoke, and the words that came out of his mouth was praising to the Lord. So let me give you that was the context, and let me just give you a couple thoughts, I think three thoughts tonight, about the message of this song as we enter our Christmas season. When Zacharias finally spoke, these were the first words that came from his mouth. And he, like Elizabeth and Mary before him, the Bible says, was filled with the Holy Ghost. For 9 months, he had silently considered the work of the Lord. He had gone about his duties as a priest, unable to speak. With all the flavor of an Old Testament prophet, the Benedictus speaks of the mercy of the Lord. And just as his name, a sake of his son, John. Here's my first thought. Zacharias knew that God is our merciful Redeemer. Zacharias knew that God is our merciful Redeemer. Zacharias, in the passage of Scripture that we read, he blessed the Lord because the Messiah, he has visited or been with us. Emmanuel has been with us, and he has redeemed us. And though he was thrilled about the birth of his own son, John, here we see an even more jubilant about the soon coming birth of Jesus. Now, this shows the great character of Zacharias. He didn't have a son. He didn't have a daughter. He should have been so excited about his own son. But yet the Bible says, yes, he said, my son's name is John. But then as he sang this song or was speaking the words of this song, it was about the coming Messiah. God has also raised up a horn of salvation. Now there are a couple of meanings here. That word horn is a symbol of an animal's strength. It's also in the Old Testament to take hold of the horns of the altar and to plead for mercy and forgiveness. John was not of the house of David. Only Jesus was of the house of David. Here's a second thought. Zacharias knew that God is our merciful deliverer. God is our merciful deliverer. What was it which the prophet spoke? There were over 400 references to the Messiah in the Old Testament. Folks, some people are perplexed about this book. If you have your Bible tonight, could you take that Bible in your hand? This Bible that you have in your hand, may I just share with you a couple things about this Bible? This Bible has been written over hundreds of years. In fact, this Bible is interwoven that men who never even knew each other, that was raised in different parts of the country, wrote about the Messiah. And yet it all works together in this book. No other book has had as many authors as this one book. No other book has written about so many different time periods and things that were to happen as in this book. And yet this book is often reviled, discarded, treated haphazardly. I tell you, you have the living Word of God in your lap. May I put it in perspective? 2,000 years ago, when Zacharias and Elizabeth was here, they didn't have this. First of all, the New Testament hadn't been written. The Old Testament was not readily available in the scrolls. And although the law was readily available, so much of the Old Testament was not available to people like Zacharias and Elizabeth. But here, we have the completed Word of God. May I just tell all and remind all of us, we are without excuse. We're without excuse. If we sit disbelieving and we sit unwilling to tell other people and invite other people to church and tell other people about Jesus Christ, we're without excuse because we have not only the past, we not only have the present, but we also understand what's going to happen in the future. were without excuse. There are 400 prophecies written by different men and women in your Old Testament from different time periods that all point toward the coming Messiah. And it's amazing how our Bible works together, but it's also equally amazing how people try to keep finding a new Bible. We have the completed Word of God. And the Bible says, be very careful if you add or take away from the Word of God. God will in mercy remember his holy covenant, the oath that was sworn to Abraham, the oath as specifically stated in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And though through salvation we've already been delivered from the power and the penalty of sin, the ultimate fulfillment is when Christ sets up his kingdom and when we will serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness. And I tell you, that day is coming. And just as the prophets of old were prophesying and tell you what's going to happen in the future, I don't have to tell you what's going to happen in the future. It's already been written for you. Jesus is coming again. His work, as far as salvation, is complete. But he's coming again because he's going to set up a kingdom here, and he will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when he does that. As you see, Zacharias, even though he did not have the completed Word of God, he understood that God is a merciful deliverer. A third thought, and then I'll be finished. Zacharias knew that God is our merciful provider. Zacharias understood that God is our merciful provider. Zacharias' child, John the Baptist, would be called the prophet of the highest. Unlike the prophets of the Old Testament who foretold the coming of the Messiah, John would introduce him personally. Can you imagine that you just had the baby that's going to grow up and introduce the Messiah? You've been hearing about the Messiah your whole life. I believe that Zacharias probably was right to have a little doubt. Your son is going to be born, and he's going to foretell the coming of the Messiah. So that means that Zacharias was going to see the Messiah in his lifetime. Well, Zacharias, I'm not going to be too hard on him, although it probably was difficult not to speak for 9 months. We certainly understand that in the life of Zacharias, that he was going to have the son that was going to tell the world that Jesus was the Messiah. John, the Bible says, would go before the face of the Lord. He would prepare his ways or make the path straight. He would give knowledge of salvation unto the people. And what was his message? His message was simply going to be this over and over again. Repent! For the coming of the kingdom of God is at hand. God the Father in his tender mercy has visited us with the day spring from on high. That is what Christmas is all about anyway. The tender mercy of God came to us in what we call a manger. Oh, in all of our manger stories, he has fresh hay. It's a clean stable. He was in a nasty place where he was born. Dayspring is a beautiful title for Jesus. It's used only here. It literally means dawn, the rising of the sun. The Old Testament alluded to this in Isaiah chapter 60. Listen to what the Bible says. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Malachi chapter 4 verse 2 says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise from the with healing in his wings. Have you ever watched how the sun comes up and it just completely dispels darkness? That's what Jesus does. Jesus is the sunrise. That is exactly what Jesus came to do. Do not think Christmas so much as a baby in a manger. I think that all of us, as we enter into this month of December, we should think of Christmas as the sunrise of God's mercy, his mercy to us. And we all sit or stand in need of God's mercy tonight. The day spring or sunrise, Jesus has come to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. He's come that he might guide our feet into the way of peace and that we might have peace with God. Romans 5 verse number 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even in a prophetic sense, 2,000 years ago, we sit here talking about Zechariah's song. The child grew. God's plan was fulfilled. We don't sing because of tradition. We sing because of the day spring and that he has shined in our lives. I want to challenge you tonight as we get ready to leave from this place, and it's been such an amazing day. I'd like to challenge you. We all have family and friends who do not know Jesus Christ. We all have coworkers that were uncertain if they know Jesus Christ. Certainly every one of us, we go to a doctor's office or we go to Walmart or one of the grocery stores around here, and we come across people who do not know Jesus Christ. I was at Walmart, I mentioned this morning, to send a gift of money or the monthly support of money to Luis Nunez to pay his monthly bills. And Walmart was crazy. There were people backed into the aisles. And every one of those people is whipping out money and putting it on their credit card. May I challenge all of us as a church, let's be responsible this year. If you don't have it, don't spend it. And let's not put such a focus on the gift giving so that our children actually break the toy within 10 minutes and play with the box, that we forget that we have coworkers and family members that need to hear about Jesus Christ. May we be like Zacharias and with boldness proclaim the Messiah. He had his own son. His own son, first time dad. But he talked about Jesus. I find that amazing. A first time dad, his own son. And yet when you read the story of what Zacharias said, it was about the coming Messiah. May this Christmas season not be about us. May it be about Jesus.